Las Vegas Sportsline. Presented by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the world's largest race and sports book, and the Super Contest. Here's your hosts, Matt Humans and Dave Koken.
All right, here we go. It's the Tuesday edition of the Las Vegas Sportsline. I'm Dave Koken. Clay Baker, as usual, is in the studio with me producing this show. Doug Fitz is in the seat to my left, as Matt Humans is in Carson City. He's covering the big hearings, and for what looks like will almost certainly be a passed vote, and we'll be in one step closer to having an NFL franchise here in Nevada. We'll probably try and talk to Matt tomorrow, because I know they're not in session tomorrow because of the Jewish holiday, and so Matt will probably have some time to spend with us on the phone tomorrow and bring us up to speed as far as what's happening in beautiful Carson City, Nevada. So Doug Fitz is sitting in his spot today. We've got Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the LV Superbook, coming on in a little bit. We'll have Paul Compton, the Sports Cruncher, coming on to talk some college and pro football games with us. And we've got a lot of stuff to look at as well. And Doug, the first thing we could talk about, well, I mean, you are a Cleveland guy, and I, of course, am a New Englander, so I have to doff my cap to you. Congratulations. The Indians were the better team, and they get the sweep over the Red Sox and move on to the ALDS, or ALCS, excuse me.
First of all, thanks for having me on again, Dave.
It's a pleasure.
And I won't bust you up too much over this one, but
no, you don't have to. We've won three championships the past several years.
Exactly.
Cleveland, three more than Cleveland has, so, you know.
Let's give someone else a chance this year at least.
Hey, they were the better team.
Well, the thing that surprised me the most about that series, and I had Cleveland to win that series. I had $1.55.
Nicely done.
The series, but they're pitching the way it, especially Tomlin. He was lights out in that game yesterday.
He was. Did a great job. We know what Tomlin's going to bring. And, you know, quite frankly, the Red Sox didn't get good swings against him, despite the fact that he was, you know, he's a pitch-to-contact guy. But he got the weak contact he was looking for. And Tomlin actually got hot down the stretch.
If the Indians can hang on to that kind of pitching dominance, so to speak, I don't know if that's maybe that's going a little too far, but they got a hell of a shot against Toronto.
Well, I'll tell you what, they've got a guy in the dugout who knows how to push the right buttons. He's a great manager, and Tito did it again in this series. I thought he was masterful in his proactive approach as far as the pitching goes. I thought he got Trevor Bauer out of there at just the right time in Game 1. And I'll go back to that, and I'm not blowing my own horn here, but Clay, how many times did I say in the space of 3 days, Game 1 is a must-win game for the Red Sox?
At least 7 times.
Right? I mean, I just kept saying it over and over again because
You got to win with Porcello on the mound. You got to win
game. Particularly with, I'm sorry, I know you can say, well, small sample, David Price has sucked in the postseason. He is 0-8. Lifetime, and his team has lost every one of his starts, 9 postseason starts. They've lost them all. And Kluber was on the mound for the Indians. You better beat Trevor Bauer in Game 1.
I heard
and
you say,
they didn't do it.
I heard you say that numerous times last week, and I totally agree with you. And, well, unfortunately for your Sox, that didn't happen.
Nope.
So that
no,
pretty
the,
much
the Indians played,
that obviously set the tone for the entire
They played better
series.
Baseball, and they deserved to win the series. The Red Sox never got more than one run in any inning. And you got 27 innings to do that, and you don't get one crooked number. Chances are you're not going to come out on top. All right, let's go to some stuff from last night, and I think we had a little bit of excitement in the baseball game. Shot of the night.
It's that time. Take your best shot.
Shoot it, fat boy.
Panic! It's a high drive to right. Elmora back, out in Triples Alley, it's off the wall, here comes Crawford, this game is over, and they're mobbing Joe Panic at third base as the Giants have won here at AT&T Park in the 13th.
Dwayne Kuiper, sure sounds like Dwayne Kuiper to me. He was a happy man last night, Giants Broadcast Network. The Giants stay alive with their 10th consecutive elimination game victory. Going back quite a few years now. Absolutely amazing what a baseball game this was. You've got just one thrill after another. I thought the Cubs got a lot of good breaks in this game.
I honestly thought we were done in that game.
Well, so it's 3-1, and here comes Chapman.
Well, I mean, when Brian hit that home run, I thought,
okay. To tie it up?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't real enthused because I'm not exactly the biggest winner in the world in extra innings.
Yeah, well, something like that normally just dooms you when you have a play on a game, and something like that happens. So, but, you know, fortunately, it worked out.
They got out of a huge jam.
The double play was huge.
The David Ross double play was enormous. I had tweeted before that half inning, I got a feeling the Cubs are going to break the tie here. And then they get the first two, or the second one out, and then they get the next two guys on with singles. And I was like, oh, boy. But the one good thing was that they were basically out of options. And if the pitcher was able to, Black was able to get Ross to hit the ball on the ground, you get a good chance to double him up because he can't run anymore. Not that he was ever a speed merchant, but he can't. He's basically David Ortiz level speed at this point. And they got the DP and got out of it. And then let's talk about the bottom of the inning, the winning rally for the Giants. And I want to. This illustrates a point I make over and over again. You know how much I dislike the bunt.
Yes.
And we were a lot of people saying, well, the leadoff double, they're going to bunt the guy over to third. No. No, you don't bunt the guy over to third. You have to look at each situation on its own merit. Now, if you've got good hitters coming up, okay, sure, get him over to third base, take the out to get him to third base, that's fine. The next two hitters behind Panic are Gregor Blanco and the pitcher. And there's nobody on the Giants bench because it's obvious Angel Pagan couldn't play last night. The pitcher's going to have to hit for himself. So you don't, by no means, do you give away an out in that situation. You let Panic, who at that point is your best option to actually do something, let him swing the bat, and as Panic said, and the guy never, he's only struck out like 40 times all year, okay? So he strikes out less than 10% of the time. He can handle the bat, and at worst, he's probably going to hit a ground ball that gets the runner to third base. And maybe he gets it through. Well, he did more than that, obviously. He bombed one to the wall, and that was the ball game. But Bochy, who is a very good manager, didn't make the knee-jerk intentional out decision there, which is what I call the sacrifice bunt, and it won the game for the Giants.
If you have a manager such as Dusty Baker, I hate to say it, but he probably bunts in that situation. But
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because he's just not... By all accounts, he's a great clubhouse manager.
Yeah, that's a big part of the job.
By all accounts. However,
if Dusty Baker didn't take over this completely screwed up train wreck after last year, they're not in the playoffs.
But in-game managing, I've never had any use for the guy, and you're absolutely right, Bochy.
Like what he did yesterday, though. He got Gio Gonzalez out of there right after that home run. Well, didn't take a chance on waiting for any more damage. And it was the right move. And some managers might squeeze through this inning.
Yeah, he somehow managed not to screw that up yesterday. But back to the point of Bochy, excellent manager. There's a reason that this team doesn't fold up in elimination games. I mean, you know, he's one of the best managers in the game. There's
no question about it. Shot of the night brought to you by Fleming's Town Square. And that special has been extended. So you're going to get the filet. It's a prime filet. North American Lobster Tail all the way until the 17th. So you've still got basically almost another week to take advantage of that. But you have to call to make reservations at 407-0019. And tomorrow, I think tomorrow's the 12th. Is that right? Tomorrow's when the new menu comes out. So I have a suspicion I will be there tomorrow night. And I think I know what I'll get because I've got some inside info on some of the new items that are going on the Fleming's Town Square menu. Fleming's Town Square, sponsor of our shot of the night. Let's go to Money Well Spent.
It's money well spent.
Jansen delivers. Swing and a long drive. Deep left field. Way, way, way back and gone. Goodbye. A tremendous home run for Jason Wirth. Three quarters of the way up the pavilion in left center field.
Wow. Jason Wirth has 15 career postseason homers. This guy's come up pretty big when the lights are on, and that was a huge home run. Look, if you get to the bottom of the ninth and it's a 4-3 game, it only takes one big swing and it's a tie game, and you get a man on, and you can turn it into a win real quickly. I know Melanson's been tremendous, so if he's out there for the save, chances are they hold on, but it's a lot easier when you get that extra run, and that was a big bomb by Jason Wirth, and I think it rattled Jensen, and they ended up putting up a whole bunch of runs in that inning to make it an 8-3 game and an easy finish. The Nationals were able to coast to the finish line, so to speak, once they got that big lead.
This series is by no means over, especially with Kershaw on the mound today, obviously. But the Dodgers' postseason woes just—they're nonstop. I mean, this team just come postseason time, they always fall flat.
And by the way, the first batter of the game is on base for the Nationals against the. Clayton Kershaw. Bryce Harper's right up right now with a count of 3-2. One man on and nobody out for the Nationals. And Clayton Kershaw, while it's not David Price level, let's just say that his postseason resume is not as attractive as his regular season resume. Now, a lot of that got skewed in the Cardinal games because outside of that, his numbers actually aren't that bad. But, something seems to happen to him in the postseason, and now here we go. First and second, nobody out for the Nationals at the top of the first inning. They got a chance to get the jump on Clayton Kershaw, and that would be huge.
Further illustrates the point that I've been saying for years, myself and many others, that the postseason's just a different animal.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they're just two different seasons. However you handicap baseball, I don't think you can handicap whatever your method is the same way in the postseason as you do in the regular season.
I don't either. I bet it at what turned out to be a bad price yesterday, but to me, the Cubs probably shouldn't be plus 120 against anybody. Now, it didn't close there. I realize that. But there was points where you could get the Cubs at plus 120. Yeah, From a value standpoint, that's not that's probably the side you got to take. But I was on the Giants anyway because it's not the regular season, and I don't handicap it like the regular season. And I'm not going against Madison Bumgarner in the postseason. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And that the number I saw that the Giants actually opened around $1.38 yesterday, they got a bet all the way down to – I laid 105.
I played it too early. I couldn't believe there was going to be that much Cubs money. I got paid, but it wasn't the best job of recognizing where the line was going to go on my part.
We could talk about a lot of reasons why – money on the Cubs just was not a good idea yesterday. It was a terrible spot for them. And I would say this, whether I won or lost the bet, if I made that bet 100 times, I'd make it 100 times again, win or lose, on the Giants in that kind of situation.
Let's find out how the money did break down in that game, because Jeff Sherman's joining us right now from the live from the LV Superbook at the Westgate. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Oh, excellent. Just getting some baseball underway.
Yeah, and an immediate threat by the Nationals. First and second, nobody out. Jason Wirth is up against Clayton Kershaw right now. So what was going on at the windows yesterday? I mean, it looked like was everybody betting the Cubs? Was it sharp money? Was it all public?
It was a combination of both. When we initially hung the line, we had the Giants $1.25 favorite. There was some sharp money that quickly brought it down to about the pick'em range, and then the public even piled on at that point on the pick'em price. So it was all Cubs money, so that was a good result for the book in the end.
There you go, and it was a good result for us as well, so we were happy about that. Now, the NFL, you got one. I guess this was probably a good result in that the Giants got that garbage touchdown at the end of the Sunday night game, and I know there was all kinds of money on the Packers, but I'm guessing this was not a banner Sunday for the books.
We came out a small winner for it, but as far as that game goes at night, you know, it landed on the closing number of 7. We were at 7.5 prior to that, so there was some dog money. The only thing is, after a full day of events like we had, you have the residuals on the Packers side as far as teasers and money line parlays and such. So it ended up being a loser for us on that game and just falling on the 7 number.
How about last night? Because this was, without Cam Newton, we weren't really sure what was going to happen as far as the money in this game goes. I know they bet the over, and that didn't work out. What about on this side?
Yeah, they bet the favorite up, too. I know Tampa was missing some defensive players, so that line it went up, and I think we closed 5.5 or 6, right in that range. I wasn't here when we closed, but there was definitely Carolina support, so Tampa winning outright was a good result for us, although it was not a heavily bet Monday night football game.
All right, so what's happening in the Super Contest right now? I know we turned in another 3-2, so you know we're hanging in there at 14-11. That's obviously not going to be in the leaderboard, but I understand the leaders as a whole did very well once again this week. The top entries they're just on rolls.
Yeah, they've been doing good. You know, each year that we get more and more entrants in it, more people, you get a larger sample to take from that. We have standout entrants, and that's what's going on right now. you have some that are at the top that are doing really well. And because I know at the start of the season, the consensus picks was not, they were not doing very well.
No, I know it.
But the leaders themselves, you just have so many more people in the pool that you're going to have some outliers that just perform extremely well.
All right. We're speaking with Jeff Sherman. He's at the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the LV Superbook. Jason Wirth has just struck out against Clayton Kershaw, so it's first and second, one out. Top of the first inning, obviously no score between the Dodgers and the Nationals. Kershaw looking to extricate himself from a mess. What are you looking at this week, Jeff, as far as the most likely heavily bet games in the NFL?
Well, the Thursday night game is going to be a good one with Denver and San Diego. You know, Denver, they've been publicly supported well this season, off to their hot start. One of the ones that I know that the house is going to need is Miami against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is, you know, almost like the Golden State Warriors of basketball, as they score so many points, the public just piles on them. And that line is surprisingly high. You know, we had it at 7, but it's on the other side of that at 7.5. But that's not stopping anyone. Everyone's going to lock up teasers and money line parlays onto the Pittsburgh side. And they're doing so with New England, too. New England's up to 8.5 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you know, coming off a tough loss to Dallas, but there's still no bottom rung team, but it's a large number that that New England's playing right now.
Yeah, well, obviously people are thinking that the Bengals might not be very good right now, and I'm not sure I disagree with that. They were awful against the Cowboys, and boy, you know, Tom Brady looked pretty sharp in his first game back for the Patriots. Not a lot of rust as far as that's concerned.
There's no doubt when they were up against Cleveland, you know, that's a good game for him to come back against.
And I hear it. Sounds like the alarms are going off there. Is that for? It's not for anything explosive in the baseball game. But we can tell you this: it is 1-0, and Daniel Murphy, who might actually be the best hitter in baseball right now. I'm not sure there's anybody I want up more than Daniel Murphy in a meaningful spot. Daniel Murphy delivers the base hit to right, so the Nationals still have runners at first and second, just one out. And they have the 1-0 jump on Clayton Kershaw. Daniel Murphy is just ridiculous. This wasn't the best hit he'll ever have. It was just a ground ball hit in the right spot. Wasn't at anybody. But it counts, and the Nationals on the board with a 1-0 lead. All right, so here we go. Jeff, I'm all excited, not from a betting standpoint, but from a curiosity standpoint. I want to see Tiger Woods out there in that golf tournament this weekend. Lo and behold, he's withdrawn. There was what turned out to apparently be a bogus report that he had failed the drug test. Nice job on the part of the journalist, quote unquote, who put that out there without apparently having a good source. But the fact is, Tiger once again on the back burner, and I have no idea when he's going to be out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, and I had everything all ready to go with the propositions up, and you know, 2 hours later, he ends up pulling out, and I'm really disappointed. I wanted to see how he was going to perform, and I'll tell you the one thing, though, with the numbers that I had hung on him, whether it was to win it or with the props, they were going to be really bad numbers based on what he said on how poor his performance was.
Yeah, really? And yet people are still going to bet into it, aren't they?
They would. I know we would have taken some money at the 40-1 that I had him to win, and we had him a short favorite to make the cut and such, but you know, based on what he had said, if he had said that while I had the odds up there, I would have adjusted him right up to 100-1.
You know what? That makes sense to me. All right, so let's talk about the guys. And look, there's some good players in this tournament, obviously. Give me a lowdown on your take on what might happen this weekend.
Well, you're starting off with Paul Casey and Matt Kuchar, the 12-1 favorites. Mickelson playing off his Ryder Cup performance. Yep. He's at 15-1. Emiliano Grillo and Justin Thomas are next at 15 and 20-1. The youngster John Rahm, he's up there at 25-1. So you're seeing an influx. If you go down the list too, a lot of the guys that played on the Web.com tour, that this is their first PGA Tour event. So you got a mix of some of the guys that are just starting their season now, plus some of the guys that are coming off the Web.com tour.
Is this the type of tournament where? I don't know what the history is, to be honest with you. And it's a little bit of a different setup because it wasn't that long ago. You know, January was when the new season began out in Hawaii as a rule. But it was January, not now. So we used to see situations where it just seemed to me like a lot of guys that you hadn't heard of made big runs in that very first tournament, and that's the way you had to look on the betting board. Do you think it's still that way in an event like this, or do you go more for the established guys?
Well, it's shifted a little bit now that the FedEx points mean something for these events. They didn't used to, and now they do. So you're seeing some of the guys get their season started off at this point. That's why we're seeing the likes of Kuchar and Mickelson playing in it. But, you know, I'm just looking for some of these youngsters that are ready to break out when you don't have such a deep list of all the top favorites, you know, no Speed Day, McIlroy involved this week. So some of the youngsters can go into this with more confidence. Even some of those Web.com Tour grads, you can look down Wesley Bryan, who recently got his card. He's a guy at 50-1 that I think is going to have a good season next year. You know, two of the guys that I'm looking at this week, they're short on the odds list, but Grillo and Justin Thomas, I think, are in for some good weeks this week.
Yeah, I think Grillo's he's a guy who could really explode. I mean, obviously, he had a very good rookie year, and I think he's got a chance to break through and win a couple of tournaments this year. I mean, and Justin Thomas, well, you know, he's right around the leaderboard all the time. We're just waiting for the breakthrough, right, Jeff?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he will do it sooner or later. I thought it was going to come this season earlier, so I know he could win one. He's definitely going to. He just needs to get over that hump and get those top three, four, and five finishes in the first place wins.
All right, Jeff, talk about the mobile app and all the other cool stuff that's going on. Of course, football get-togethers on the weekend at the Superbook are second to none.
Yeah, you know, we got a crowded room. We don't have the Football Central any longer, but now everyone is in our beautiful book that, you know, newly remodeled a year ago. So we got plenty of screens that are extremely large for everyone to see, just like walking into Times Square. And with the mobile app, you know, it's your last couple weeks. We got hockey starting tomorrow.
Yep.
So today's your last day, really, to get all your NHL season point totals if you want to get down on that. But you have all the way up until the teams play their first game. 2 weeks from now, the NBA starts. We have NBA regular season wins. All this is available on the mobile app, so if you can't be down here and want to get down, you have that opportunity.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon and hopefully see you soon as well.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Jeff Sherman, follow him on Twitter at Golf Odds. The National just, I guess it was Rendon, was up. He makes an out pop fly to the outfield, so there are now two outs, two on. Nationals have a run in on a ground ball single by Daniel Murphy. And they lead 1-0. Top of the first inning, Kershaw has already thrown 25 pitches. And remember, he's short a day here. 25 pitches for Kershaw, and he's not even out of the first inning. So I think if you're a Dodger fan, Doug, I would suggest that Dodger fans might not be feeling all that happy right now.
I wouldn't think so. Again, mentioning you know, our previous conversation on their postseason woes, they're just a different team in the postseason, and they look lifeless, and their pitching falls apart in the postseason for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know.
Who can explain certain things? But there's Dave Roberts and Dodger management will be second guessed if Kershaw has a bad game here for not going with the rookie Julio Urias, who granted might only be available for 50 or 60 pitches, but you want to get ahead if you can. And the Nationals are the team that's going to have the jump here. Always nice to get that first run on the road.
Absolutely. And Urias, I believe, was scheduled to be the starter today originally.
Yep. All right, he's gotten out of it. Fly ball to right field by Ryan Zimmerman ends the top of the first inning, but it was still about a 26 or 27-pitch inning for Kershaw, and Washington leads 1-0 going to the bottom of the first. When we come back, we'll catch you up on what's shaking as far as the baseball game is concerned. Also, we'll get you caught up on Twitter, and then Paul Compton from Sports Cruncher, he'll be along next.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
The biggest gambler's bonus hit of the year just paid Kathleen over $42,000. She hit four twos on September 17th and cleared her gambler's bonus four-of-a-kind bingo card for an amazing $42,800. No other player's cup pays like that except gambler's bonus. It's why you play the game.
Listen up, Vegas. Dollar Loan Center guarantees to beat the rate of any payday lender. You can even apply and get fully funded online at don'tbebroke.com. Get a signature loan up to $2,500 in minutes with no hidden fees and no checking account required. And now you can get a title loan for up to 80% of your vehicle's value with no credit check at all. At Dollar Loan Center, you only pay for the...
In the U.S. for producing the best qualified graduates. So start making a change for your future. Text LIFE to 321-321. Again, that's L-I-F-E to 321-321.
Andrew Dice Clay is back October 14th through the 16th at Laugh Factory inside the Tropicana.
You come see me. Don't bother seeing any other show because they're all terrible.
Locals get 2-for-1 tickets. Get your tickets to see Dice at the Tropicana box office or at TropLV.com.
Sports and traffic every 30 minutes.
I'm Clay Baker with your ESPN Sports Center update. It's brought to you by Topgolf Las Vegas. Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw called into duty this afternoon on 3 days rest. With the season on the line, potential elimination game today against the Nationals, Kershaw labored around the mound in the first inning until Washington's Daniel Murphy, an RBI single, scored Trey Turner. Kershaw threw 27 pitches in the first inning. Nats lead 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning until Adrian Gonzalez, a 2-run home run off Joe Ross. Dodgers lead 2-1 now in the bottom of the first inning at Chavez Ravine. And stay tuned tonight right here on The Leader. Cubs, Giants, 5 p.m. coverage begins by the Bay following Cofield and Company. This sports update has been brought to you by Topgolf, a 4-story entertainment complex with over 300 screens, one of those 48 feet wide. Topgolf, the evolution of play. Easy access just off Koval Lane at the MGM Grand. With your Sports Center update, I'm Clay Baker on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Let's take a look at traffic. It's brought to you by TaylorMade Friday Nights. Watch out for these slowdowns on the freeway. That's 15 northbound near Russell Road. We also have a crash causing delays. That's on Las Vegas Boulevard near 215.
It's Friday night under the lights at TaylorMade Golf Experience. Real golf, real cheap, with $5 wings and 6 Michelob Ultras for $20. Just bring your swing. $15 unlimited range balls. Friday night lights at TaylorMade across from Town Square, 6 to 11. Powered by Michelob Ultra.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Pardon me for yelling over Clay Baker there, but that was pretty exciting. Two out and nobody on for the Dodgers after a harmless ground ball by Chase Utley, a strikeout by Corey Seager. Joe Ross hit Justin Turner in the left shoulder blade with a pitch that got away from him, and then one that got away from him right in the middle of the plate. And Adrian Gonzalez takes it deep to right center field. Reddick has just grounded out to end the inning, but the Dodgers put up a 2-spot, and they lead after one inning against the Washington Nationals 2-1. We'll keep you posted as to what's going on. I'm here with Doug Fitz. My name's Dave Koken. Clay Baker's at the controls. We thank Jeff Sherman for the Westgate Las Vegas for joining us in the first portion of the show, the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the LV Superbook. They bring you the Tuesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. We'll get to Paul Compton, the Sports Cruncher, in just a couple of moments. But first, let's check out what's shaking on Twitter.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
Not only one of the most popular establishments on the Strip, but any place in Las Vegas, people flock to Joe's, whether they're locals or tourists. They all know they're going to get a great meal at Joe's every single time. They're open for lunch starting at 11:30, and of course, dinners every evening, Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. But highly recommended that regardless of what day you're going, you want to make a reservation. It's very busy at Joe's. Hot spots are like that. 702-792-9222 is the phone number to make that reservation. And make sure to follow Joe's on Twitter at Joe's Vegas. What did you find, Doug?
ESPN stats info on Twitter. We know the Cubs pitchers can hit, but this was a little bit surprising here. Cubs pitchers have as many home runs and more RBIs than the team's other hitters have combined this postseason. pitchers hits 3 hits and 8 at bats. All their other players, 19 hits in 101 plate appearances. Cubs pitchers have had 2 home runs. The others have had 2. And the Cubs pitchers have had 6 RBIs. All others combined, only 5.
Wow. That is amazing. Good stuff. ESPN stats and info? Is that what the...
That is correct.
Yeah, they do put up some fun facts there, so to speak. Paul Compton joins us every now and then, and I love having him on because his college and pro football models are absolutely terrific. Thank you, Clay. Hit the button as we had a little bit of a slip there. That was not. I got tongue tied. The cheat sheets.
Okay.
Yes. I might never use that expression again. Anyway, Paul Compton is with us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsCruncher. And Paul, I will let you try and say cheat sheets from now on instead of me. How's that?
Right? Yeah. It's the market cheat sheet.
There you go. Nicely said.
One for one.
All right, so explain a little about that before we get into some individual games. What do clients receive? How do they receive it, and what's the breakdown?
Yeah, it's a little spreadsheet where I have the lines, my projections for the lines and totals for all the games, as well as some other things to kind of look at, so that when the lines come out each week, you can get in there and start making bets against the soft lines right away. I'm sure you've noticed, Dave, that do you know anyone that gets it in better than us every week?
I'm telling you what, it's out there in a hurry, and if you have access to those early numbers, which are going to move, it can be very advantageous. Not just from a handicapping standpoint, but from a value standpoint. These numbers are really good for those people who want to set themselves up to play some potential middles.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It works out good for the average to even smaller players because you're not constrained by the early betting limits that come out. So it's really a good system for the average bettor. Get a lot of action and a lot of good value to which you can play back later in the week if you want, for sure.
All right, Paul, so let's break down some games this week. And this one's really interesting to me. We do have an injury in this game, so it's not a chiseled in stone number right now. We don't know exactly what the status of Perry Hills, the Maryland quarterback, is, and he's played pretty well so far. Although it at least sounds like he might be able to play. I guess he was asking back in the game on Saturday, but they were getting nailed, so I think Durkin decided, well, let's just leave him on the sidelines. But Minnesota's at Maryland, and I've seen Minnesota play three games so far, and the more I see out of them, the less I'm impressed. I don't think they're very good, and I like the direction of Maryland. What do the Sports Cruncher numbers say?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the numbers play out to the season averages, I like Maryland to win by 10-11 points, so there's definitely some line value there. Maryland was obviously a big disappointment last week, considering how bad Penn State's run defense had been and how good Maryland's run offense had been. Well, it somehow it was just one of those games where things got flipped around, where Penn State had the great running game and Maryland didn't. But yeah, they had the QB injury. It makes a little bit of a difference. Not a huge difference. Maryland's not much of a passing team anyway.
No, and I think the kid, the backup, is a kid who's got a chance to be pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think he came in one other game and did a good job on his first snap because Hills has had a couple of problems with the shoulder. The thing on Minnesota is, and a lot of people said this before the season started, but Clay's might be a little bit overmatched as a head coach at this level.
Yeah. They're not really doing anything particularly well right now. And speaking of starting quarterbacks, their quarterback, Mitch Leidner, he's going to be out for this game too. And that's a bigger loss for Minnesota than it would be for Maryland.
I hadn't checked. The last I had heard was he would probably go. He's now going to be out?
Yeah, he's going through the concussion protocol.
Okay.
I think that's why we saw the line jump from 4.5 up to 6.5 earlier today. Mostly on the back of that, because their backup has two collegiate attempts. He's a junior, but he has basically zero experience, and then going on the road. So it looks like a tough spot for Minnesota.
Kershaw at the 1-2-3 in the top of the second, so the Dodgers lead 2-1 going to the bottom of the second in that game four, I beg your pardon. North Carolina and Miami of Florida, are these two teams going in different directions? North Carolina looks like they've been solved a little bit. Their defense was shaky to begin with, and the offense now not as productive. Miami of Florida lost a tough game to rival Florida State, but they certainly look like an improved team from last year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's everything that they weren't good at last year, Miami, which was basically to play in the trenches, run offense, run defense. They've improved a lot this year, especially defensively. I have them at the top 10 defense right now. I rank them 10th. So that's a big improvement. I mean, they held Florida State to 3 points in the first half last week.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then, Kaya got his bell rung pretty bad in the second half, had a molar knocked out, shoulder dinged up, and blocked extra point at the end of the game, and Florida State escapes with a victory.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm not sure. There's always adjustments. Had Miami won that game, this line might be a point or two higher, and, you know, it might get to that point where it's not such a good value. But North Carolina is certainly a team that's going in the wrong direction right now in people's power ratings. They've actually got a couple of lucky wins, and they were really bad last week against Virginia Tech, much to my delight, by the way, and I think yours as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Got plus 6.5 on the opener, so we were sitting pretty by the time it closed at minus 2.5. But you know, when there's bad weather games, like in the Carolinas last week with the hurricane, I don't even put the stats from those games into my spreadsheet because they just skew the data so much.
Yep.
So even without that game, which would have looked horrible for North Carolina statistically, I still really like Miami to cover this one, just, you know, because Miami, yeah, they're pretty solid at almost everything. Their running game is still kind of average, but the passing game is still excellent. But North Carolina, when I look at the numbers, you know, last year their offense was so dangerous because they ran the ball and they passed the ball so well. Their passing game is still really pretty good this year. The numbers aren't too far off, but the running game has gone way down. And just to look at the numbers, you have to think it's because they don't have a Marquise Williams, the quarterback, running the ball so much like they did last year. You know, Trubisky he's not put up any running numbers so far this year.
No, the kid's a good passer. In fact, he's a terrific passer. He looks like looks like an NFL passer to me, but the mobility factor isn't as strong, and teams look like they're keying on Elijah Hood to some extent, and he's not putting up the numbers he did a year ago. All right, we want to touch on this one, Paul, because it obviously involves the local team. Dalton Snead, in his first game against Fresno State, did some really exciting things. And in his second game against San Diego State, he was an absolute disaster. The Rebels were horrible last week on offense. Now they have to go out and face Hawaii. And Drew Brown is the new Hawaii quarterback. Took over from Woolsey a couple of games back. Has started the last two. He's looked terrific. Looks like they might have uncovered a little bit of a gem here. Hawaii on a bit of a roll right now.
Yeah, Drew Brown looks pretty good. I don't know. I mean, he's probably a bit better than Woolsey, but Woolsey had to play the tougher teams earlier in the year. So, but either way, it's working right now, and their running game too. So they have a pretty good balanced offense, and UNLV's defense is not showing much improvement from last year. They're still a bottom 20 defense, and they didn't do horribly last week against San Diego State, holding them into the 20s is a bit of a moral victory, even though they only scored 7 points. But yeah, their passing game did nothing last week. It was Rutger-esque in its quality.
It's not a nice thing to say at all.
No, I mean, Snead, he put up some good running numbers. I don't know if those were on design plays or just running for his life, but either way, he ran the ball pretty well. So, I mean, that's at least a positive heading into Hawaii, because Hawaii does not have a good defense. Their defense is actually a little bit worse than UNLV's by my numbers. So if UNLV can run, it's just tough being one-dimensional, obviously, in football. But if they can keep up with the run, you know, they might keep it to within a score.
Paul, this is Doug Fitz.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, I wanted to move on to the NFL for a second, if you don't mind. First game we're going to talk about is the Chiefs-Raiders. And the thing that my observation on the Raiders are, I realize they're only maybe a one-point favorite right now, but the Raiders as a favorite are not very trustworthy, in my opinion. As an underdog, they're gold. What do you think about this game? Are your numbers kind of bearing that out, or what's your thoughts?
I'm, you know, being at home, I'm leaning the Raiders. I think traditionally, you know, good passing teams make better underdogs because they've always got a chance to get that back door with the pass. Whereas if a team that's primarily a running team, as an underdog. It's if they're just getting physically outmatched, it's just not going to happen. But the Raiders have a pretty balanced offense. I think that, you know, they're running the ball. I rank them third best at the run and seventh best at the pass. And the Chiefs, you know, they've won some games, but not in great fashion and not statistically very well, honestly. Their rush defense has been lousy. Their pass defense has been so-so. They're running the ball really well. That's the one thing. If the Chiefs have a chance in this game, it's running the ball mm-hmm. against a not very good Raider run defense.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And one thing we know about the Chiefs, the way that offense is built, if they get behind,
they're in trouble.
They're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. Next game we want to talk about, Paul's Falcons Seahawks.
Fascinating game.
And this really is a fascinating game. I mean, how do you resist not taking the points with a team on a tear like the Falcons? But I think the Seahawks. Yeah. I think the Seahawks are better than their last few games indicate. Indicate to me. So, what are your thoughts on this one?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I could not resist personally when it came out at +7. I took some of that. And now it's down to a 6, I believe. But the Seahawks, they struggled a bit offensively when Russell Wilson had his ankle dinged up, and they're recovering from that, and they had a pretty good game against the Jets. It was just the Jets, but it was on the road. The Jets at least have a decent run defense, if nothing else, and it literally might be nothing else. But I don't see why the Falcons can't do it again. You know, sure, their bubble's bound to pop at some point, but, you know, getting a touchdown early on, I was not going to bet that it was going to be any worse than that. And did the Seahawks have a better defense than the Broncos? I don't think so.
Yeah, and Paul, I think
they've got a better quarterback. They do have a better quarterback,
yes,
I will say that, because Paxton Lynch was just,
Yeah, not, and Paul, and I think also, too, at certain points in the season, and I think this may be one of those points in the season for the Falcons,
yep.
I think you have to kind of stop making the assumption that, oh, well, they're on a little bit of a roll, you know, they're going to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe this team is – now, I realize they started out kind of this way last year.
I'll throw one thing in. The difference is this. Julio Jones basically was invisible this past weekend against the Broncos.
And still,
when you can win a game without your best player, he is absolutely the best player on that football team. When they can win a game against Denver, which had won 9 in a row, and I don't care if I'm playing quarterback for Denver, that defense is still great.
Yeah.
To me, that was a very impressive win by the Broncos, the Falcons. Look, they might fall on their face this week. It's not easy to travel, make long trips across the country back-to-back, and Seattle's a good
mm-hmm.
football team. But
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, Paul, I'm impressed by Atlanta.
Yeah. If nothing else, they're going to have the confidence. You know, they know what they can do now, so going into another tough road environment for sure, and back-to-back weeks of travel, but they're not going to beat mentally, if nothing else. So I think they should be in it. I think it should be a really close game.
All right, Paul, great stuff as always. Follow Paul Compton at SportsCruncher on Twitter, and let people know the website if they want to get more information, Paul.
Yeah, it's just thesportscruncher.com. And the services, I send out all the lines ahead of time before the betting lines are open, so everyone has the same numbers and info to, try to get their bets down as soon as they want.
There you go. Thanks, Paul. Have a great week.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
All right, we'll take a very quick break, Clay. We'll come back and get you a play of the day.
Pull the tab for a nice cold beer. Banger Brewing, Fremont Street's first craft brewery, is going to make you hoppy with all-you-can-drink house draft beers for only $30. That's right, $30 for the entire day from noon to close. And you got to check out Banger Brewing's El Jefe. It's their jalapeno Hefeweizen. Or check out Morning Joe Coffee Kolsch. Take a free tour of the on-site brewery to see exactly how they create these masterpieces. Heck, you might even catch their happy hour with $5 beers and 2-for-1 growler fills on Tuesday. Banger Brewing is now serving wine and food from Food Junkie. So make sure to follow Banger Brewing on Facebook and Instagram.
If you're a man with a performance problem, come to Vivacity Clinic today. In just one visit, they'll apply a test dose of their customized treatment. It will work for you, or your appointment's absolutely free. Call 702-457-3888. That's 702-457-3888. Your performance will be back, guaranteed. If you have high blood pressure or diabetes, your medication could be affecting your ability to perform. Vivacity Clinic has helped thousands on medications improve their male performance. They can help you too, guaranteed. For an appointment, call 702-457-3888. Your performance will be back, guaranteed.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Top of the third inning, Dodgers leading the Nationals 2-1. Clayton Kershaw had a 9-pitch second inning, which really helped after a 27-pitch first inning. So he's now back on schedule as far as that goes, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way in this game. We'll get to the play of the day, which is going to be on the Giants-Cubs game tonight, game four in that series coming up. But before we do that, Doug, let people know about how they can get your plays on a regular basis.
My website is systemplays.com. Everything on the site is free. I'm not selling a thing. I put my plays on the site or on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Fitz, F-I-T-Z, underscore Doug, D-O-U-G.
And as always, thank you, sir, for coming in.
I love coming in here. Thank you, Dave.
Let's go to the play of the day.
It's the play of the day, brought to you by Mastriani's.
Mastriani's. You know, there's basically not a single day that goes by in this city where I don't speak to somebody who tells me, oh, yeah, I went there. It was great. We're not making this stuff up. I mean, it's just this happens all the time. And the results are the same all the time. Everybody loves it at Mastriani's. You will as well. So make a reservation if you're going in the evening. They're open Monday through Friday for lunch at 11 o'clock. But you definitely need the reservation in the evening. 702-367-7511. Mastriani's located at Hualapai and Desert Inn, 3330 South Hualapai. Have them. You know, if you want veal chopped, lobster ravioli, linguine. Get some linguine with white clams chopped. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Got meals to fit every budget there as well. Play of the day. What the heck? Why not, right? They're 10 straight wins now in elimination games. Going to get a plus price. I haven't checked it in the last half an hour, but it was plus 112 earlier. Matt Moore is not the most consistent guy in the world, but let's go for it. Giants. Play of the day. We had him yesterday. Let's see if we can roll him in again tonight.
And go Indians against the Jays.
There you go. You're going to get a price in that, too.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for Clay Baker, Doug Fitz, Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the LV Superbook. And, of course, Paul Compton, Sports Cruncher. I'm Dave Koken. For Matt Humans, who'll be on the phone with us tomorrow. That's it. Adios. Have a great night.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.